Aloha and welcome to Global Family Live. Yes, Auntie Kay has gone global. So just take a moment here. Know that no matter where you are or what's happening in your life right now, this hour together is for you. So just take a deep breath in and let the stress of the day go out. Out with your breath. And together, let's just take a deep breath in gratitude for all these blessings that are in our life right now. And let's release our love out into the world. How was your week? I've been noticing with the international clients calling that these last 4 weeks particularly have seemed more activated, more exacerbated, more expanded, and more rapid changing than anything I've been aware of probably in my whole life. And this is the reason that I wanted us to look at stress and perception tonight, because it's becoming more and more obvious that balance is truly an inner job. It's truly something that we have to manage, each in our own way. Balance for me is definitely not going to be balance for you. And a whole lot of what creates balance in our ability to be resilient during stress, with crisis, with change, is our perception. Let's talk a moment here about perception. When we're growing up, we're literally infused with the energy of our environment, auditorily, visually, and kinesthetically. So there's a lot of perception and experience of our reality that comes in that we just really have no conscious awareness of. So during times of crisis, our belief systems and our perceptions will get the opportunity to be exposed. And in that exposure, sometimes it's a great aha. Sometimes it's a great shock. And sometimes it's just hugely confusing. So this is why we want to talk tonight with my dear friend and my guest, Shirley Orlick, who I'll be introducing to you here in just a moment. And I want to remind you that you can call in and speak with either of us, share your ideas, ask questions. If you're in the U.S., you call in on 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-815-0756, and anywhere else in the world, you can dial directly to BBS Radio at 530-876-3222. So if you've noticed in these last 4 weeks particularly, and however this last week was for you, I want you to really know it isn't just you. And I know that sometimes that's helpful. And I think one of the most important things right now, as we're experiencing the changes and the challenges in our life, is to feel into the experience, not judge yourself and think, oh, there must be something wrong, and oh, you need to fix this. It isn't about fixing things right now. It's about experiencing what is happening, staying consciously present, and allowing yourself to move through the experience by moving with the energy and moving with the emotion. Now, what that requires in order to do that is a strong focus on the moment. Stay present in the moment. So, number one way to stay present in the moment, we've talked about this before, it's the aloha, the breath. Alo means universal space. Ha is the breath. Aloha means we all share the same breath. So when you want to call yourself into the moment, be here now. Follow your breath. And most of us are shallow breathers. That means we breathe from the upper part of our chest rather than actually taking our breath deeply into our lungs and allowing a natural full return in the exhale. So just for a moment here, let's take a big deep breath and take it down, take it down, take it down to your diaphragm. And then gently, organically let that breath come back out. Don't push it out. Don't hold it. Now try that again. Just a natural rhythm into your body and then let it come back out. Now notice with just two breaths what has happened to your thinking. Notice what's happened to the stress in your shoulders, in your neck, in your jaw. Just notice what your body's doing right now with just two breaths. Now, if you've got water close by, take a drink of water. This is really, really helpful. And especially if you're in any place that's as warm as where I am tonight, I'm coming to you from Las Vegas tonight. My mother's 90th birthday is today. So I'm here in Las Vegas to celebrate. And in this dryness, it's so important to keep hydrated. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my guest. If you didn't read the show information, I met Shirley about 26 years ago in California. And this was shortly after the death of her son in a plane crash on Mount Shasta. So I've had 26 amazing, glorious years to share in Shirley's life and watch her take one life challenge after another and turn it into an amazing experience and an amazing blessing, not only for herself and her family, but for her extended community. So I wanted you to have the opportunity to hear a magical wizard, a magical angel, share insights with you tonight. So I'd like you to receive and appreciate my very special guest, Shirley Orlick. How are you tonight, Shirley?
I'm fabulous, Kate. Thank you. What an introduction. Thank you.
Well, it's such a joy to be able to have you online here with us. And Shirley, I know that one of the most profound life-changing experiences came with the loss of your son. And I wonder if you would just share with the audience a little bit, since tonight we're talking about stress and perception. Talk about stress over the top. And how many ways I know you had to change your perception moment by moment. And we're dealing with a lot of loss of lives in a variety of ways, including our soldiers in Iraq, as well as relatives and friends right here in our home country. So would you share with the audience some of the amazing things you discovered about your own strength, your own ability to manage stress, and use your perception to bring another whole reality for you and your family?
Right, Kay. Well, it happened one evening. I got a telephone call, and I think we all have those moments that... They're turning points, those moments of choice that forever alter the course of our life. And the phone call that I received that my son's plane had disappeared off the radar in the vicinity of Mount Shasta during a bad storm was certainly one of those moments. So it was 3 days of waiting and going to the mountain and wanting to climb, waiting for the clouds to clear so planes could go out. So it was 3 days and nights of very little sleep.
Lots and this was January, wasn't it, Shirley?
Yes,
it was cold and winter in Mount Shasta.
Well, it was a bad storm the whole state of California, because later on I met someone who was in a boat way down in Southern California, and she thought it was the end of her life at sea being tossed around. So it was a storm that just really affected the whole state. And my son was flying bank cargo, so he would pick up, you know, canceled checks, and goodness knows what else is in those magic bags that he carried. But in the bad storm, they pulled him in off the coast and put him inland, so he was going on instrument because the storm was equally bad onshore, offshore, inland, and when his plane disappeared off the radar. It disappeared in the morning. We did not get a call till the afternoon, and it didn't look good. So it's those moments that are beyond anything you've ever experienced, and you wonder if you're dreaming, you're praying, you're pulling in every tool you can. And what I discovered, I was on the mountain when we were allowed to go up 3 days later, and though I was not the plane that found him, I mean, my goodness, it's a whole other experience. You're looking at a mountain that's just been dumped a few feet of snow, and it's totally white. What would the airplane look like on that gigantic mountain? Would you even see it? You know, is it buried in snow? But I was in the air when there was a call from the Civil Air Patrol had gone up that a plane had been sighted, and they made us land. They weren't going to tell me a thing in the air. And so we didn't know, and it was a whole day. Then, well, an afternoon of waiting to get a helicopter. It was, his plane was spotted near the very top of the mountain, so we had to wait to get a helicopter that was big enough, and they were all busy, to go to that altitude with extreme weather and snow. So I remember waiting in a lot where a helicopter could land at Mount Shasta Hospital, waiting for the sound of a helicopter bringing my son down from the mountain. And they still had not told me anything. And then we received a call that we needed to go to Wairika, which was like a half hour away. And I was going, why are we going there? And I bought the story that there are better facilities there. Well, what's there is the coroner's office. So I remember sitting there waiting for word, and I'm very good because I've had a lot of experience at reading body language, and I was watching everybody behind in the sheriff's office behind the glass looking for a hint of body language, and I really couldn't pick up on anything. And then a woman came out, and her first words were, I'm sorry. I think, you know, your whole life just, I'm sorry. What does that mean? So anyway, they told me that they had brought my son's body down from the mountain, and they believed that he died on impact. And so it was just like everything around me crashed. Anything that was important before this just kind of disappeared. And what I discovered was, it was as if I went multidimensional. There was a part of me that was a very earthbound, grieving mother. And at the same time, I became aware of a very spiritual part of me, or someone watching over me that was embracing me, that I would be okay. And so my dance began to be to marry these two parts, to bring the grief. I mean, it's just overwhelming what grief can do to the body. So I discovered, and I don't know how much you want me to go into this, Kay, but every day when we went home, we had, because we lived in the Bay Area, and it would be 3 days before they would allow a pilot's body to be brought home, because there's certain things when there's an air crash, that, you know, autopsies and things that they have to do. I began experiencing extraordinary things in my life, such as my son, his wife Kathleen, and I remembered saying we wished we would have told the funeral home to call us when his body arrived in the Bay Area. And that night we were sitting up, it was like 2 a.m, and the phone rang. I'll never forget the ring, because it was an energy like piercing the phone, but not a real phone ring, and the lights flashed. And we both looked at each other, and we both said at the same time, Bobby's home. So we began being open to experiencing extraordinary things while we were going through our grief. And each day I would write a word on my calendar, and I know the day after the funeral I wrote, empty. It was like there was nothing left to me. I didn't know if I wanted to be here. It was a very empty feeling of, wow, what has just happened? So I began realizing then, I was training myself to live the pathway of the heart, because let me tell you, the grief so knocked me off my socks. I couldn't even physically get out of bed and take care of myself. I didn't care if I ever got out of bed. And when I started noticing, it was only if it was something that brought a little bit of joy to my heart did I get any physical energy. And I was a great to-do multitasker. And none of those things would work anymore. My body would not give, my physical body would not give me the energy to participate in the way that I had lived my life before that. So anyway, Kate, you have some, I don't know where you want to go with this.
Well, what I love about what you're sharing with us, Shirley, is I think one of the most important things for us to understand in times of change is exactly what you shared from your experience. There's a life force that lives in us, that will come forth in times of crisis or stress or challenge, that is unidentified and unrecognized until it's needed. Okay. And when that part of us comes forth, it's like a snake shedding his skin. We'll never go back. We'll never be the same person we were before that phone call, before that dream, before that mystical experience, before whatever the condition, a hurricane, 9/11, however it impacts our life, we will never go back. And so with what you're sharing with us, Shirley, is that huge open space that occurs when stress takes us to a level of breakthrough. And in that place, then, we begin to moment by moment and breath by breath and choice by choice and heartfelt experience to build a whole new foundation. And one thing that I really want to stress at this time for every one of us, there is no formula for recovery from trauma. There's no formula for or timeline for recovery from stress other than what is yours. In the same way your fingerprints are yours only, so is your recovery, because there's a weaving, as Shirley is representing, there's a weaving of our energy, our body, our mind, our emotions, our whole biochemical self that is literally shattered and shocked, that has to recalibrate and find a whole new resonance field within our being. So when we're talking stress, we're talking anything as extreme as this amazing condition and situation that Shirley has lived through, as well as her children, to a small daily stress. But all of this has an effect on our physical body. And Shirley, what I have noticed over the years is that empty space and that place where literally your heart had to call your body into motion has just opened up a phenomenal world of healing and awareness and relating and expressing on an international level for you.
Indeed.
And what do you think, by following your heart, Shirley, was it just like day by day that you felt like you were getting stronger and had more motivation?
It was, and it wasn't quick. What I noticed is at the time that I got the phone call, I was an office administrator for a very well-known plastics and reconstructive surgeon, and he was about to go into national office. So at the time when I needed rest and I needed recovery, I suddenly was working with a Chicago office, scheduling meetings, doubling up on my work, so to speak, which even ran over into the weekend. So I remember they called me. It was the week, probably a week or two after I got back, and I went, wow, what's going to feel like to walk in my office where I got that call? And it was just those being aware that I have a glass saying in my window. I'm a great collector of saying and magnets and things, and my all's right but the world had fallen down. It was on the floor, broken.
Wow.
So it was like so meaningful. It's like, how do I put a broken life back together? Do I even want to? And what I noticed is I got called to a meeting on a Sunday, and it was perfect because I went into a smoke-filled room full of people with all these schedules who had no real idea what grief felt like, you know, and just went about their business. And finally the room started spinning, and I said, excuse me, I have to leave. Well, I went to my car, and I was very close to the cemetery where Bobby was, and I drove my car up there because I just didn't know any other place to go, and it's beautiful up there besides. And I spread eagle laid on top of his grave, and I remember crying out, God, Bobby, Jesus, if there's anybody out there, help me, I'm drowning. And I sobbed. It seems like I sobbed, and it had been sprinkling, and I just merged with the rain, and I sobbed for, it seemed like a half hour. And suddenly, it was as if I reached the bottom of the well. There was no more tears. There was no more thoughts. There was just this big, empty space in my heart, and I heard a physical voice when I said, "What do I do? Tell me." It was time to leave. And I knew that I had asked, I had heard a physical voice. Who is it? Is it God? Is it my inner self? I don't know, but it was the most powerful thing I'd heard in my life to date, and I knew that I had to leave my high-paying job, that I no longer could function, and I was complete. So that was how I began my walk of faith, my walk of walking the path of the heart, because only if something was bringing me a little joy or I'd feel that little flicker in my heart, could I have enough physical energy to get up and do something. So that trained me well. It's my training wheels on a day-by-day basis to walk the path of the heart.
You know, that's just so important in today's world, especially because we're being constantly inundated with somebody's opinion and somebody's idea, and some of the ideas and opinions are intended to generate such fear and such confusion. And I want to reference that the Institute of HeartMath in Boulder Creek, California, has been working for well over 40 years with tremendous research on the power of the heart. And it is now recognized in the medical field that the heart is the regulating organ of the body, and the baroreceptors take the heart message, the heart power, to the brain. And the brain is the commanding station that then communicates with the systems in the body to bring in coherency and resonant field. Because in moments of great stress and crisis, when our whole insides literally feel shattered, that neurologically and biochemically, it's like when you drop an egg on the floor. It's still an egg, but it's no longer contained in the same way. This is a similar experience that happens with high stress level. Is our whole inside self rearranges itself. We don't disappear, but we are rearranged. And the heart, by Shirley saying she listened to her heart, the heart is the resonating factor that is matching the rhythm of the tides with the ocean, the rhythm of the moon with the tides of the earth, and the rhythm in our own body. And our heart will recalibrate us. So when we listen to our heart, we're actually strengthening that very system to become more coherent, which then can give clearer messages to our brain, which then reduces our confusion and our shock level, and will begin to give us the opportunity to literally begin to think again and think in different ways. So it's so important. You know, we hear a lot about follow your heart and listen to your heart and let your heart have a voice. And all of those things are so true and so valid. And the physiological aspect is also incredibly important. Listening to our heart strengthens the energy in our body, the light field in our body, and strengthens our immune system. So, Shirley, as you followed your heart over these 26 years that I've known you, then tell us a little about bit about some of the modalities of healing that it has guided you to.
Well, one of the things is I wrote my son's eulogy and delivered it, and that was one of the hardest things I ever did. But when it was over, our last moment with this body, the family all gathered, and we each went up to the casket and said our final words and held in a context of what we could do with our pain to make the world a better place. So I know that each family member did that in their own way. Mine was, you know, somehow, Bobby, this has to make a difference in the world. It cannot be just another too bad. That's just not good enough. Somehow I will keep going till I find a way where I can make a difference with this love that I hold for you. So it was a while down the line when I found my way to someone who was going to do a consultation with me. And she said, "You're not here about that." She said, "I was at the funeral. What are you going to do with your gift?" And she said, "Close your eyes." So she took me into a space. And I said, "It feels like I am going to write a book." And so be it. So I went, "Oh, yeah." So I was like, "Well, you can't leave the planet. You made that promise over your son to God, to yourself, that somehow it would make a difference." So anytime I thought life was too challenging or anything, "Well, you can't leave the planet till you've completed this promise." So as what happens is if a magical synchronicity begins that leads you and connects you with people and things. And I found myself in an Ira Prograf journal class where, and in this class, they had you communicate with something that has meaning in your life. So I sat there and I thought, well, here's this unwritten book. So I began dialoguing with the book, which is now the opening pages of the book that I did write called Journey to High Places. But what I just really wanted to underline is that synchronicity, having your tent be clear and then following your heart, you get connected to your next step. And your job is to just recognize it, trust your heart when you feel that energy, and do whatever you're guided to do. So the writing of my book was an amazing process for me. It took me, I would say, from the time, it was probably 5 years to actually was finished, because it was boxes of notes on napkins, and it's like, what am I going to do with all this? But it had a life force of its own, and what I realized is I committed to be pregnant with this idea. And for all you people in the audience, especially women, when you're pregnant, that's it. So you deliver this entity has a life force of its own. You know, you can guide and you can do, but there's a whole other energy that is being born that knows when it's time to be born and will guide you along the way. That's a strange analogy, but that's how best I likened it, was to a pregnancy. I had agreed to be pregnant. I wasn't going to be done until I was done. And it was a long time going into labor and delivery. But a magnificent journey, nonetheless.
Well, and that having written 3 books myself, Shirley, I so appreciate what you're describing. It's an amazing experience to enter into the field of consciousness that holds the words.
Yes.
That we as individuals receive and allow that to be an expression. And it is a unified field that truly has a weaving of energy and consciousness that's unlike anything I've ever experienced. And it's very intense. It's very intense. And I want to take just a moment here for any of you who may have joined us later, that this is Global Family Live with Kay Snow Davis as your host, and you are privileged at this time to be here with my special guest, Shirley Orlick, who is sharing with us the life changes she's been through. And let me remind you that you can call in at 877-876-5227 if you have any questions for Shirley or I during our show. Now, Shirley, the book that you've written, Journey to High Places, where would people be able to get this book?
The quickest, easiest way is I created a website about 3 months ago, and it's called Quantum Angel Network. And so at www.quantumangel.net is my website. And on there is more about the book, and you can purchase it through there. So what I've discovered now, my next big writing thing has been this website, for it is my intent to share everything I know that has value and to pull in, like, UK and some of my other friends, all we've learned, and begin collecting it on one website, you know, a resource for Earth Angels, so that eventually we'll have all the crisis lines, we'll have inspirational music, we'll have what's going on in the world, what's helped us through whatever is going on, because life isn't just one moment of change, but it seems to be constant change, whether it's financial, your health. And we've all been gathering so many tools, and I truly wish to put them in a form where somebody could go on there and begin to find things that uplift their spirit, things that they might not find all on their own, but going on nosing around in there and exploring, you can connect to crisis lines. So that's all in the works now, and Journey to High Places is certainly on the website.
Well, and Shirley, what you're referencing about Quantum Angel Network and your website, I think, is such a critical piece. I remember, I think it was in 1985 when I lived in Boulder, Colorado, had a wonderful client who had a serious liver challenges, and he flew to Colorado so he and I could work together. And I remember at that time, he said that the most challenging thing for his health and well-being was when he returned to New York and he had to try and find the resources that we had talked about to support his continued wellness program. So what you're referring to, Shirley, in the networking, that in today's world where everything seems to be accelerated beyond time and space and filled with more details than we can even imagine, that the whole quantum effect of networking and resourcing, because there's also this tremendous healing quality that occurs when we feel connected to those that we feel are healthy and loving and kind and caring. That's a quantum leap in our wellness right there. Then the trust level that we can take this referral and explore it and find out how is this going to work for us or not. So the networking process that we're all doing right now is what on the islands we call the coconut wireless.
I love that.
Yeah, and this coconut wireless is indicative of what we're saying about the heart connection. Not only does our heart connect to our brain and support the brain to get clear messages to our systems, but our hearts connect and are connected with each other throughout the world, whether we know it or not. After we had Hurricane Iniki at September 11th of 1992, of course, everything was down. This was a level 6 that they downgraded to a 5, and it was 165-mile-an-hour winds up to 227 for 5 hours. So, of course, when the winds dissipated off of the north shore of the island, in my eyes, even though I'd never been in a war zone, it was what I imagined it must be like after being bombed. This incredible, incredible disarray. And, of course, all the roads were impassable. There was no electricity. And the concern on the island for the safety of others, as well as notifying our family and friends who were not on the island. And within 24 hours from the north shore where I had extended family to the south shore where I had extended family, I lived on the east side. Within 24 hours, I got word on the Coconut Wireless of the safety of all of these people. Within 36 hours, it actually was 48 hours, State Farm had come and there was information taken back to my family in Colorado. So our heart connections are much stronger and much more viable and much more powerful than we realize until we get the opportunity to connect and know the Coconut Wireless works for all of us. You don't have to live on the island to have the Coconut Wireless work. And so networking with strong groups of people. Now, I'd like to reference just a moment here Rings of Empowerment that Barbara Marks Hubbard shared with us. That, again, was in 1985. These are very important things when we're going through changes in our life and our confidence is less strong and our direction is less clear. It's very important to know who are the people that you can talk to, which means talking to someone they will listen. Your stress level is reduced dramatically when you have someone who will listen to you. Now, as a listener for someone who's in stress, you don't have to fix anything. And you don't have to figure everything out. The greatest debriefing and support for high and critical stress level right on up to trauma is simply talk about it. So when we're networking, it's very important for you to realize who are the people in your life that no matter what happens in your life, number one, you trust them. Number two, you know they love you no matter what happens, and that you feel safe to share with them whatever your stress level is, because when you speak, in the same way that Shirley recognized when she was writing, when you speak, you alter your reality and you allow the trauma, the crisis, and the stress to begin to reform and reframe itself and shift. Now, let's stay focused on a very important thing that Shirley has represented to me over and over and over, as well as to many, many others, that no matter what the condition and the situation is, by being with it through your heart and listening, in a matter of hours, a universal life force, God or Jesus or Allah or whomever you relate to as your divine source and guidance. When we're empty, there's more room for our divine guidance to find us and speak to us. And the most amazing thing happens when we're empty. Our heart can hear much more easily and much clearer. So empty, as Shirley described, is that place where we finally surrender, let go, and let God. So in this time of stress, in today's world where scientifically we've got amazing changes, astrologically we've got amazing changes, physiologically, psychologically, just about every area that we could possibly have change. Don't be afraid of that empty space. Now, I can tell you from teaching in Japan several weeks out of every year, America is a very busy nation with a lot of noise and a lot of stuff going on. Empty is not a very common feeling. But just think about the simple aspect. If you want to put orange juice in a glass and it has water in it, are you going to pour the orange juice in on top of the water? Or are you going to empty the glass and then pour the orange juice in? You have choice. So as Shirley is talking about the transformation that took place for her there with Bobby at the cemetery when empty took over, and empty with her laying on the earth is one of the main things the Native Americans talk about. Place your belly button on the mother and let your grief go into her womb, and she will refine it and redefine it as new life for you. Now, Shirley, do you feel that you were always able throughout your life to take amazing life changes and begin to rearrange them? Did you learn how to do this? Did this come from an inner awareness? What helped you change your perception around stress and crisis in your life?
Well, as a child, I remember they called me a Pollyanna. But also, I was, you know, in World War II, I was a happy Pollyanna living on the farm with my grandparents, and suddenly when the war broke out, I became a Dago, a WOP, an enemy, and I began searching. Even then, it's like, how did you think I was such a great person before this war, and how could a war in a faraway place change how you see me sitting in this tree? So I think I began just sort of sitting with things. And of course, when I did the Ira Prograp journal workshop, those were things I dialogued with. I dialogued with death. I dialogued with divorce. I dialogued with war. You know, and what I saw was they change how your life is, you know. They, but there is an innate wisdom within that can see that, you know, that clearly can see that. Maybe not always, but...
So even as a child, with that sudden awareness and perception that...
But I didn't.
You hadn't changed, but something had changed because now people were treating you differently.
Right. But I really didn't discover that. So that's what Journey to High Places was about. I went back from the beginning of my life and took every challenge and sat with it and polished it till a gem was revealed. So I began... What I do now is, instead of focusing on whatever is going on, though I will do that too, I'm looking for the gift. What could possibly be the gift? You know, it's like the little boy who went into a room that was full of manure, and somebody went, oh, you know, and it's manure. But the other little boy went in to start digging. There must be a pony in here somewhere. So somehow I made... that ship, not always available, but sooner or later it starts coming to life. Wow, what's the gift in this? And with only one or two exceptions in my whole life, I have found the gift. And I continue to do that, whether I'm in a car accident or, you know, whatever goes on. I'm just looking for the gift. And one of the gifts is the power of the spoken word and your thoughts and your feelings and where you put your attention. Because just briefly to go there, my husband and I were in a 70-mile-an-hour car accident couple of years ago going down Highway 5 in California, and as the car was spinning and turning end over end, we hit an embankment and it just was going, I put up my hand, I said, I screamed at the top of my lungs, no, God, I'm not done yet, because I knew I could blink and I could also be gone, you know? And I really sensed the power of my intent, of my spoken word, that my husband and I were bruised and we had a lot of things, but you know, when the helicopter hovered, they didn't expect to find anybody alive, and we are, and we're well. It took us a little while, but so, you know, I...
Strong and healthy and dancing well.
And dancing, loving to dance. And so I do believe the power of the spoken word, our feelings, where we put our attention, is what expands. So you can either hang around and, oh, my God, you know, how terrible, we lost the car, it wasn't worth much when they paid you, you know, hang out in that, or just hang out in thanksgiving that we're both alive, we're here together, and we will recover, and we will go forward. So I fine-tune where I allow my thoughts and energy to take me. And
well,
not that I don't grieve for my aching body or that, but I don't. It was like with Bobby's grief. I would give myself, after a while, 15 minutes to sit there, look at pictures, cry, feel what I'm feeling, and then it was like, okay, if you do nothing else, go pour yourself a hot bath, put some essential oils in it. So that I began shifting as well as I was able, and sometimes the best thing I could do was to just fill a bathtub. Or do something, you know, if you're near the ocean, walk near the ocean, let the ocean wash at your feet. Find your own ritual, your own thing that makes your heart feel a little lighter, and give it to yourself.
Well, and Shirley, you've said some words that I feel are very important, and gratitude is a huge, huge biochemical, energetic, empowering experience when we can be grateful for even our breath in times of crisis, because gratitude has a completely different biochemical response in the body. And also, how many times I hear people say when they have life experiences, oh, I wonder what my lesson is here. I wonder what I need to learn. Now, I want you to listen when you say that, audience, to yourself, I wonder what I need to learn here, versus I wonder what my gift is.
Totally different.
Totally different. See, your heart is motivated to find a gift.
Indeed.
As soon as we say, I wonder what my lesson is, there's that shadow of judgment waiting to come out and say, oh, you didn't do this right, and this is how come you have this lesson. So I would love for us, all of us, to take your wonderful words and keep asking ourselves, what is my gift in this? And there's a very important thing in addition to this idea with the gift that I would like us to remember, that the universe has one plan. It's not a split reality. It's not divided in values, nor intention, nor accountability. The universe has one plan, and that is to evolve. And we, as part of that universe, the eternal light of life. Have that divine plan encoded in every cell in our body. So no matter what the experience is, there is only one direction. Evolve. And evolve means expansion, opening up, surrendering limitations, letting go of the small things in life. And let's add Shirley's words. Let's look for the gift. Because our heart is excited. When we say the word gift, that childlike innocence in us can light up and know that there's joy in that gift. Now, don't push yourself or feel like you have to create that before it's a real experience for you, but keep reminding yourself with your thinking, the only thing that is happening in your life right now, today, tomorrow, and forever, is you are evolving. You're evolving with this magnificent earth, with this magnificent universe, as part of a magnificent divine plan. And the number one thing is, you are the gift. Therefore, the universe is waiting to gift you with every experience. So in that place and in this time where we are about to close, I would like us all to be in gratitude right now in this moment that we gifted this planet by saying yes to be present. And in being present on this planet, let's follow what Shirley said about her commitment. Let's follow through with our soul commitment to evolve and to shine and to be the brightest light that our heart desires to be. As we gift this planet with that light and as life gifts us with many blessings. Just as you have tonight, Shirley, by being on the show with us, I thank you so much. And I want to remind everyone that you can go to Shirley's website, which is www.quantumangel.net, and check out the magic and the links and the networking. Know that you can contact me at info@globalfamilyeducation.com.
I just wanted to say one thing, Kay, is that on the website I used my angelic name, which is Christara. So it's me, whether it's Shirley, Shirley or it's your Christara. They're all me.
Yes, they are, and that's your angelic name. And thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Christara. Thank you for the life that you live, for the blessings that you give, and for your generous time to be with us on Global Family Live. And I know that we'll have more opportunities to continue to grow and learn with you as well. And thanks again, and to our beloved audience, I want to say to you, Ano I ko alehele. May you be blessed on your journey. Ahui ho. Until we meet again. Aloha.